Hi there, thanks for joining us on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley and Keith Melrose. Looking ahead to, well, if I say it's John O'Gaunt Stakes Day or Beverly Needler Day, then you'll know that it's not necessarily the most important Saturday of the season in terms of quality of racing, but there are eight races on ITV, on the main channel, and they're pretty much all very, very testing puzzles, very few odds on favourites. We've got soft going as well to contend with. So we'll see what the lads fancy on the TV action, and then we'll also see what else they fancy away from there. And we'll get the naps. First of all, though, Paul Keighley, not only a very welcome return to the Postcast, but a very welcome return to the racecourse for you last night, I hear.
Yeah, first time racing. Well, I managed to go once at the Tingle Creek in December. First time racing, able to have a drink, really well organised, good atmosphere. I don't know how many that meeting gets. It didn't feel really empty, but it was nice and comfortable. Backed a few winners as well, so thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excellent. And you can get food and drink. Well, you wouldn't know about the food, but the drink was all okay, was it?
Yeah, the drink was fine, yeah.
Excellent. And Sandown on a Thursday, because it was the first real day of sunshine as well, wasn't it? There's few better places to be. It must have reaffirmed your belief in life.
Yeah. Getting off a lot more enthusiasm back for racing now. I was able to go again, that's for sure. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Jolly good. And how are you approaching the weekend? Are you full of confidence, or is it one of those cards to tread carefully?
I've hit a bit of form lately, but I'm trying not to get a bit too bullish because it can sometimes go wrong when I do. So I'll play it safe. But no, I fancy a few. Very much a northern day, isn't it? The cards that we've got, our afternoon cards at Cartmel, Chester, Haydock, Catterick, Beverley.
Yeah, that is mad, isn't it? Yeah, so we're allowed to go racing, but it's all northern-centric. That suits Keith Melrose because he's slap-bang in the middle of all of those. Keith, are you going to go racing tomorrow?
Not tomorrow, no. I don't know when I'm going to go racing next, Bruce, to be honest. I'm inclined to wait until everything's open. I don't know. I hear you have to sit down to have a drink.
Really? But,
yeah, I don't... I wouldn't have been taking any... offered lemonade off the bottles on Kiel's table because I don't think he'd have thought to stand up.
But at the end of the day, I couldn't stand up.
It was either sit down or lie down. Excellent. Just a quick word before we get into the racing, Keith, just on the going, because we've got a kind of weird situation where it's nice and sunny again, the weather's finally turned, but obviously we've still got the legacy of the downpours that preceded the welcome return of sunshine. So how are you approaching this? Are you expecting kind of drying ground, but still on the soft side of good generally?
Yeah, if you could back on somebody bemoaning the tacky ground tomorrow, you'd take it for whatever you could, wouldn't you? But I'm basically treating it as soft side tomorrow without it being really deep, which, you know, the last couple of weeks we've basically been able to assume that it's deep ground. You know, it's still going to be on the softer side, I would have thought, just about everywhere. But yeah, just do bear in mind it's not the slop we've got used to in May.
Okay, jolly good. Let's tackle the first of our eight ITV races on Saturday. It's the 1:45 at Haydock Park. It's over 6 furlongs. It's the Betway Handicap. These are guide prices throughout the show. I'm just going to read out some guide prices. Basically, I hit the best odds button on racingpost.com and it shows the best prices from a number of leading bookmakers. But obviously, you need to shop around, not just for best price, but increasingly for best each way terms. Right then, this is wide open. 11-2 Capote's Dream, 13-2 Bielsa, 10-1 is Cold Stare, 10-1 Helvesia, 11-1 Musicality, 12-1 Bar. Let's start with you, Paul Keighley. Who wins this?
Yeah, I pretty much like Cold Stare. Good horse at his best. He's down to a mark of 87, which is below his mark for his last two wins. He actually won the last running of this, which is 2 years ago, off a mark of 92. Came out last week because of unsuitable ground at Haydock, but his best form is on heavy ground at Haydock, and I think it was just a case of the fact that he'd won the day before in a better race at Goodwood and finished a close fifth. That was a much better race than this one. He strikes me as being in form. Like I said, he likes Haydock, strong pace, 6 furlong, bit of cut in the ground is perfect for him. And Ashley Murphy rides, I think that's for the first time. It just has to go very close for me.
Where's Oshin Murphy in your top 10 of current jockeys riding in Britain?
Oh, he's well in the top five.
Who's number one?
I think Tom Marcondes at the moment.
Ah, Who's your number one at the moment, Keith?
I'm not sure I've got a number one on the flat just now. I've got like a list that I'll always see as positives, and Markand and Oisin Murphy are always up there. I think Sylvester D'Souza probably still, because he's not yesterday's man, but he's a former champion. But I think I think he still gets underestimated, especially I'm doing all the staying races and controlling them on the front. There's very, very few better than D'Souza.
Excellent. Who wins the 145, Keith?
It's sprinters we're starting with. We're going to the opposite end of the spectrum to what I'm usually dealing with. So first couple of races, they're not going to be massively confident selections. But I did notice here the sort of, I like the way Bernardo O'Reilly sort of ran on his reappearance at Ascot. This is a horse that tends to need the first run after a break, if you look back on his record. You know, after on seasonal reappearances, he has tended to come on for those. He was off the bridle quite early at Ascot in the race that Fresh won with Pendleton, I think, in second. It's a better race than this one, I think. And, you know, he was never nearer than at the finish. With that behind him, I think he ran his very best races of his career in last season. And he was on a winning mark now. With that little run behind him, he's a big price. I just thought he was worth a little bit of an each-way one. And he is on that sort of near side as well, drawn.
Bernardo O'Reilly, 14-1. Keith, when you open up a Racing Post horse profile, do you have it clicked on so that it's got the brakes indicated?
I do, yes. I mean, I think it's one of those things that you're better having it there than not. Why would you put yourself in the dark like that? Because if you don't have that flag, you'll forget it, won't you?
Absolutely. It's one of the great features. One of the great features of the website there. You open up a horse's profile, it's got all its form. And you can click a button that says show breaks, and basically there'll be a line indicating when they've had a break of 50 days or more.
With non-runner info as well, and I do keep that on. It's probably useful less so than the breaks, but you still want it there, don't you? You still want to know if a horse has been pulled out, sort of why, you know, a horse that you think, oh, are they lining this up? And then you see a lot of non-runners on somewhat creative grounds, and that they're the instances when even having the non-runner info up are going to give you a big clue.
Absolutely. Keith doesn't have a punting Achilles heel, but if he did, it probably is short distances. So the next race is very apt. It's over 5 furlongs. It's the 220. It's the Betway Achilles Stakes. It's a listed race, and another really wide open heat, this one. Who we got favourite? El Astronaute, 9-2 favourite. 5-1 Mosgiel, 6-1 Kings Lynn, 13-2 Tarbouche, 15-2 Al Jardi, and 8-1 Bar. Keith, are you breaking with habit and going in hard on this one, or is this, as per the other one, a tentative selection?
It is a bit as per the other one. I think it's got the sort of look of a race that might set up for Tarbouche. I've made the mistake of, I've got Tarbouche wrong loads of times myself in the past, but he's a horse I like. Musselburgh just didn't go right for him. He was drawn away from all the action. He was always on the near side rail at Musselburgh. He was drawn, I think, in stall 2. Never really broke on terms either. He was never in that race, but he should be sharper for it. The time before that, he'd won the Scarborough Stakes at Doncaster. He's a sprinter that does handle soft ground, and he does like to quicken up as well. It's got the look of a race, this. It's going to play into his hands. So, yeah, it's a small bet for me, but Tarbouche is the one.
And for you, Keels.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm going for another one who's likely to come from off it. He's got a bit of fine. Count Dorsey. He is only 5. I mean, he looked like he was improving fast last year. And he went 2 of his best races over this course and distance. He beat Came From The Dark by half a length, and then got beaten half a length by Came From The Dark at slightly worse terms. They were roughly level weight contest, those two. And Came For The Dark is rated 108 now, which we're putting top rated in here. Gareth Dorsey hasn't quite gone on from that, but it shaped really well at Chester 3 starts ago. I don't really think York is his track when the ground is fast, which it was 2 starts ago. And he shaped a bit better behind Pendleton last week. So I'll give him another go on a course that he likes. There is tons of pace in here. We've got El Astronaut, they'll do well to lead that, but there are plenty of others who like to go forward as well. Ornate can go really fast as well. So I'm looking for something to come from behind, and it'll be in.
Thank you very much. 2:55, the Betway Pinnacle Stakes for fillies. It's a Group 3 over 1.5 miles. Roger Varian's got the fav here. Cavaletta at 13-8. It's 3-1 Oriental Mystique. 100-30 La Lune. 7-1 South Sada. 16-1 Wait for the Lord. And the rag is National Treasure at 40s. Keels, who do you fancy here?
Yeah, funny race this is, because the priced up Anti-Post, and it was around about even money in 5-4, two horses who now aren't in the lineup. One of them, Al Panistas, pulled out yesterday, and Alba Flora wasn't even declared. So now we've got 6-4 favourite Cabaletta. I think that's probably correct. Wouldn't be my sort of race to be having a bet in, to be honest. She does need to come on for that race at York, but I mean, she's not really a mile and a quarter horse, and this would be more up her alley, a bit of soft ground and a bit of a test of the trip.
Okay, so Cabaletta, if anyone, but probably no one. Righty ho, Keith, who'd you like?
I think it's possibly significant that the two horses Keel's mentioned there that were Anti-Post 5 and 2nd 5 are both Rousing, Kirsten Rousing horses, and she's left in Oriental Mystique. I'm a fan of Cabaletta, a horse I followed a lot last year, but she let me down often enough that I might say some bad words about her in private, and the blinkers go on this time. So I think she is the most talented horse in the race, but she's half the price of Oriental Mystique, who had a more satisfactory day appearance. Is going to have conditions to suit her. Her dam won the Filly and Mares Champions Day race on really testing ground, so no matter how testing it is, you imagine it'll suit her. I think she just represents a better bet at double the price.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's move on to our final race from Haydock. It's the 3:30. It's the Betway Jonagaunt Stakes, another Group 3 over 7 furlongs. Good old Safe Voyage. He's 3-1 favourite. You've got 4-1 with Thanks, 6-1 Toro Strike, 13-2 Glorious Journey and River Nymph, 9-1 Njord, 10-1 Kinross, 16's Brad the Brief, and 33-1 Queen Jojo. You can go first, Keith Melrose.
The boring bet in the race is Glorious Journey, who is closer to the top of the sort of 7 furlong old guard than the price of 13-2 would imply for me. I think he should be more of a sort of 5-1-ish. The sort of more exciting bet, and the one I'm probably going to go for, is with Thanks. Because if you look, I mean, her form last season, obviously, she got beat on reappearance and then lost to Onassis at Goodwood, who is going to go on and be sort of part and level herself. And after that, she went to Nace in November. And I watched the replay today. I had to watch it twice. It was really, really impressive. She absolutely tanked all over them in background. And sometimes you think these horses that travel through the races, it can be a bit all fart and no poo. But when she got asked to quicken up, she just buried them. It was within 100 yards. She put 5 lengths into them. She looked really, really good that day. She's, you know, One Master sort of vacated the belt a little bit at 7 furlongs. I loved One Master. And here's a stablemate of hers that has the potential to take the same spot in that division. She's really exciting with Thanks. I think she's the sort of horse that you'll back her today at 7-2, 4-1, and you might never get that sort of price in this sort of company again. So I think she's the more sort of exciting bet.
What an awful expression, Keith.
I think that's great. It's fantastic. All fart and no poo. I love it. Yeah, that after a night on a Guinness.
Yes, right. Kiehl's, let's get that thought out of my head. Who do you fancy?
I mean, the obvious ones is Safe Voyage and With Thanks. I don't know about With Thanks, as she won so easily last time, but I don't think it was a very good Group 3 fillies race. This is much harder. Safe Voyage is one of those. I mean, you normally think it's just safe. You just put your money down on him at Haydock. Four wins and the next second to his name from 5 runs. But he went to Keeneland last year, which is a real weird thing for him to do, running on firm ground in the Breeders' Cup. And I don't know whether that's ruined him or not, but he finished last of 14 there, and he came back and he finished last. Never went a yard in the lockings. Can you back him at 3-1? Because he's going back there, having not beaten a horse in his last 2 runs. I can't. I'm going to take a chance on the Irish one. Njord. Last time he came over to Britain, he absolutely ran away with the Balmoral at Ascot. And I think I don't think he really stays a mile two in soft ground when his return behind Broom. He stepped up a lot on that a couple of weeks ago, and now he's being sent over here. I think he'll run up to his best, and he will go close.
Thanks, chaps. Let's go to Beverly next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back. We've done Haydock. Now we're going to look at three races on ITV at Beverley on Saturday, starting with the 2 o'clock 5 furlong sprint, the Hillary Needler Trophy. It's for 2-year-old fillies. Kyber Crystal is favourite at 7-4. And then we've got 5-1 Hester Prine, 7-1 Lady M. Essam, 9-1 the intriguingly named Jilly Cooper, 9-1 Lucy Lulu, 10-1 May Blossom, and 14-1 Bar. Right then, Kiels, what's your handle on this?
Oh, it's a massive guess-up race, really, isn't it? These two-year-old races at this time of the year, they've already run, you know, once or twice. I mean, the Fab finished second at a big price, ran to a Racing Post rating of 76. And it's 7-4. The only thing you say about that is that when she was second to Ebro River.
I was going to talk about him. He was good last night, wasn't he? Wow.
He's obviously a complete nutter because he hung all over the track to the right at Doncaster when beating Kyber Crystal and then hung all the way left last night.
I mean, he looked like he was at a foam party going into the stalls. He was so het up. He really did.
Yeah, he's obviously a bit of a loon, but he's very good. And to run a length second to him, it's probably better than the original mark given to him. So I can understand why he's Fav. Again, not my sort of race. I thought Hester Prynne actually ran quite well when winning first time out. She's out of that. She's by Mondial East, a proper old stalwart of David O'Meara's. Was running, well into his, eighth year or whatever. Won a couple of grade ones. She looked pretty decent when she won here, but it was on fast ground. Mondial East certainly handled a bit big though, so that one's interesting. But I mean, it's not really a betting race, is it?
So no bet.
No bet for me, really.
Bet for you, Keith?
Maybe. I do think this Kyber Crystal. I mean, I watched the Ebro River replay back, and then she does come right away from everything else without Nathan Evans really going for her, because he knows from about a furlong out more than that. That he's on the second best horse and he isn't hard on her, so he could even on the bare form mark her up. The level you need to win this sort of race, she needs to improve maybe half a stone at most, really, for that the level of this race. And I think 7-4 is a fair reflection of that. If she drifts at all, I might back her, but it is very much a bit of a borderline bet.
Right, you are. Let's see what the lads fancy in the 3:10 at Beverley. Another 5 furlong 2-year-old contest. It's the Continental 2-year-old Trophy. And we've got a favourite from Kevin Ryan's yard in the form of Ryan's Party at 5-2. 5-1 is Mercurial. Same price, the Gatekeeper. Same price, Tipperary Sunset. 11-2, Straits of Moyle. And 7-1, Rob John. So just the 6 runners. But it's as competitive as an A5 at Monmore. Keith, who do you fancy?
This is a bit of a no-bet race, really. There's nothing I could particularly come out and say, oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be one I'll be back in. Just make a mention for, there's one debutant in here, it's Straits of Moyle. Just to let sort of people be aware, you might think debutant in this race is a bit, you know, it's quite ambitious, but the owners tend to target this race, especially with our fast two-year-olds. So this will be a deliberate ploy here. There's the fact that he's running here for the first time will be entirely planned, I suspect. So I'm not backing him unless, you know, the money really comes or whatever. But the fact that he is making his debut with a horse that won this race, actually, 5 years ago, Prince of Lear, just says to me that he's an intriguing runner, but I couldn't recommend a bet on that because I know nothing beyond that.
Ah, I've just noticed, interestingly, 10 years ago, Gabriel won that. He's only just retired. What a great horse he was. Okay, Kiels, have you got a strong view here?
No, it's impossible to have a strong view. They've all shown degrees of promise, haven't they? I was quite sort of interested in Straits of Moyle as a bit of a guess, but, you know, the ones that run, I quite like the way Tipperary Sunset run at Hamilton, and obviously does handle the ground because it was good to soft there. Still, you know, he hung a little bit to the right, so he was still pretty green, but he got the job done. And yeah, I think he'll have learned a lot from that. It's a bit of a guess up, isn't it? They're not the sort of races I particularly like seeing on the TV to cover. I'd rather a nice big handicap, but there you go, it's on. The sire won the Windsor Castle on soft ground a few years ago, so there shouldn't be any reason why he won't handle it deeper than it was last time.
Big handicap, you say, sir? Coming right up, the 3:45 at Beverly, 7.5 furlongs, bet 3.65 handicap. 9-4 favourite is Sibak. Give it some Teddy, 6-1, 15-2. Gallipoli, 9-1, Broken Spear, 11-1, Byron's Choice, and Queen's Sergeant, and 12 bar. Right then, you wanted a big handicap. It's a big handicap in terms of the field and the competitiveness.
It's a competitive race. I mean, there aren't, you know, obviously. The racing is a bit down market a week before the Derby. It always is, you know, and the same as the week before Royal Ascot. But, I mean, this is a competitive race and a shockingly priced favourite. So you've got to get stuck into it, I think. There is nothing particularly special about Sibak's length win over course and distance last time in April. I know the runner-up won next time, but, you know, she's up £4. That was on good to firm ground. She ran on soft ground twice last year. She got beat both times. She was 6-5 fav when she got beat by an 18-1 shot who's tumbled something like £9 in the weight since winning that race. So she's got question marks on the ground. Since the 12th of May, Mark Johnson has had two winners from 76 runners, two-thirds of which were in single-figure prices. So it's not like he's running loads and loads and no opers. He might, you know, he'll bounce back at some time. But I mean, if you want to back a horse like that at around 2-1, I mean, you're completely off your rocker. You've got to play against it. There's a few of these between him and the one I want to back who've got a bit to improve on ground. And I think Warif might run well for David O'Mara, isn't it? He was pretty good a couple of seasons ago. He won a handicap of 95. He was fifth in three good handicaps in the soft and heavy ground, including the Balmoral. But he missed a hole of last year, and he's had three runs back. He hasn't come close to repeating his form, but I thought he went with a bit more zest at Ripon last time over 1 mile 2 furlong on soft ground. I don't think he gets that trip when the ground is soft. He's coming back to a trip that's more like it. And I think he's likely to run a big race. He's on down to a mark of 87 now. He's an 8-year-old, so you know he might be on the downgrade, but I can see him winning a race this year. And this isn't a great one, and it might be it.
Okay, Warif for Kills at around about 12-1. Keith, who are you going to go for?
I've come very close to taking the diametrically opposite view of Kills. I mean, there is some quite obviously back. You know, that's a short price. But I see the 3-year-old against all the exposed old muck. The ground is a doubt, although I did note that his two good half siblings both run their best races on soft and heavy ground. So I was tempted to say, you know, that this was a horse that I put up. Had the ground been a little bit less testing, I probably would have done. But that is just enough to put me off at that sort of price. I don't think it's that strong in behind. That's maybe the thing, isn't it? That, yeah, he is extremely short, but I thought it was because I didn't see an awful lot behind that I fancied.
Did you refer to these horses as old muck?
Exposed old muck, yeah.
That's absolutely terrible. If I owned one of those horses, I'd hate to hear my pride and joy referred to as that, Keith. That's very naughty, mate. Never mind. Okay, right. Thank you very much, chaps. The final ITV race on Saturday takes place at Chester at 2:40. And again, 7.5 furlongs is the trip. The Tote Plus pays you more at tote.co.uk. Handicap. It's a class 2. It's wide open. Another bat is 9-2. So's Et. Oh God. Edge Tilab. It's 6-1 Boardman. It's 9-1 Hey Jonesy. 9-1 King's Knight. 10-1 Azano, 12-1 Tad Lil and Via Serendipity, 14 bar. Keith, have you got a view on this?
Potentially. I'm going to have probably, I mean, you wouldn't, on the basis of his last run, my suspicion with Hey Jonesy is that he either leads or he takes the huff. And he couldn't lead last time at York in the race Mr. Lupton won, so he took the huff. It could be that he's more aggressive generally, and you know, I might be missing that, but I've decided to give him that credit for now. He's only £1 higher now than when he won the Wokingham last year. He beat Summergand actually by a nose in that race, making all. He's drawn in stall 3 at Chester, and he's got all this form at 6 furlongs. I would be very surprised if the instructions to Megan Nichols weren't blast out and see what he does. He might not stay the 7 furlongs, but he's handicapped to win. He's a horse that does so well when he does get to lead, and he's drawn in 3 at Chester. 9-1, I'd just take that chance.
Keith, I guess he's not really an each-way play, and I'll tell you why. Here are his form figures for his last runs, 10 runs. 16th of 24, 15th of 22, 22nd of 23, 1st of 22, 19th of 27th, 18th of 24, 12th of 21, 5th of 6, and 16th of 18. He's all or nothing, isn't he?
He very much is, and it does sort of give a little bit more to the theory of leads or huffs. So, yeah, very much not an each-way bet.
Absolutely. Keels, what have you sussed for us here?
Interesting little race this. I mean, the obvious ones for me are another bat and Boardman. Boardman absolutely bolted up the last two runs. He's £10 higher now. Issue with him is he does start slowly, so he's going to find the wall of forces in front of him straight away, I think. And, you know, I fear another bat because he won really well at Thurs 2 weeks ago and he's still well handicapped in the action on the track. But I am going to take a little chance. Drawn in track two, one of the outsiders, Alexander James. Now, it's a bit of a leap in the dark. He's having his first run for Michael Appleby, having been running in France. But he's a listed winner from 2 years ago, and he was listed placed last year. And although he hasn't run that well in a couple of starts this spring, he was in good company in France, one listed race and another reasonable conditions race. And he's coming over here with a handicap mark now of 91. That's way below his best form. He races prominently, so he might just be able to get a good position from the start. And Michael Appleby is really good with those other trainers' cast-offs, and I think he might be worth a little each-way punt.
Excellent. Yeah,
I'm glad Kiel's mentioned that horse, because I didn't quite have the guts to put him up. I think this horse will win races this year from the capital. As Kiel's made the point about how well handicapped he is. This horse has gone between Mademoiselle, I don't even know her first name, but Mademoiselle at Crombie and various British trainers for Craig Buckingham. It might be over further that it finally lands, but God, it's an interesting horse for some time this year, definitely.
Okay, that's Alexander James. Right, that's the TV action done and dusted. Let's see what else the boys fancy this weekend.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. Live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley and Keith Melrose looking at what we've got away from the TV cameras on Saturday. It's a packed old card. We've got Cartmel, we've got Haydock, Punchestown in Ireland, then we've got Beverly Catterick, Chester, Fosslass and Salisbury. Loads to choose from, Kiels. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I can't say I've got much, to be honest. There's loads of racing, but it's loads of average racing. There was one at Haydock, if I can find it, and I will tell you.
We have to have these Saturdays, don't we, Kiels? I mean, it's just the way the programme is. They can't always be stellar, and we've got the Derby next week, haven't we?
You know, but we've got a competitive lot of races on the TV. It's not that bad. It's not as high class as you normally get. I think if Sir Maxi is fit on his first run as a three-year-old, he's been gelded for trained out your man, Rafe Beckett, with Tom Marcond up at Haydock in the 405. I think he could still be a fair way ahead of his mark. He won twice, finished second twice last year, got beat a neck on heavy ground at Doncaster on his final start. So the ground is no issue at all, because that was a career best for the time. Been gelded, if he's shown any sort of improvement, he's got to be a big player.
God, I mean, that's just dream connections, isn't it? King Rafe and Tom Marquand. 4-1 shot, that. Is that it for you, Kiels?
That'll be it for me, yeah.
Does that mean you're only tomorrow going to have one bet outside of the ITV stuff? No further questions.
I might throw a few silly fivers and tenners elsewhere, but you never know.
Okay. Keith, what have you got?
I've got loads of bets away from the cameras. I've got, in fact, I probably have as many bets off the telly as on this one. One of them's at the 3:50 at Chester. In fact, I won't see the third one because I think the third one's going to be my nap. But the first one at Chester is in the 3:50. Currently, the outside of the whole field on the early prices here is Hassanabad. Now, this horse is coming back. Well, it ran over hurdles over the winter. It was formerly with Dermot Weld, won a race at the Galway Festival for Weld in 2019. It was... had a decent first season over for Ian Williams, went over hurdles. It's run all right over hurdles. It's got to about 119 on RPRs without, you know, it's not as good a horse over hurdles than on the flat. Came back to the flat last time, ran in the very warm Opera Gift race at Salisbury. Finished last, but was eased off late on, basically as soon as he was beat. he just Kieran Fallon just sort of gave it up once the horse was going to finish nowhere. He just let him come home in his own time. He's well handicapped on form as recent as December when he was second to Kingsway at Chelmsford, who's going to be miles better than that level. Just think this is a horse that, especially at Chester, when he can just blast out, he is a horse that tends to make the running, and he did. He made all when he won at Galway. So this is, I think the track's going to suit. He's definitely on a good mark. I just think at that sort of price, he was 20-1, I've backed him at already. It's sillily big in a race that he wasn't the very strongest you'll ever see for the grade. And I'm going to put one up at King Rafes as well at Salisbury. I've talked about Grain of Sense before, I think, on the podcast. Certainly put him up before the horse that is going to win a few staying races this summer. He finished second to Sulachana last time, who was, it turns out that horse was utterly chucked in. Grain of Sense was a little bit laboured and behind. He might just be that sort of horse. He's gone up a pound for it. I just think he's going to keep improving this year. So I'm going to be back in Grain of Sense again at Salisbury. I really fancied him last time, but I think
which race is that, Keith?
The 8:15 at Salisbury. 8:15, jolly good. Quite a late one. And then the other one that I'm going to put up is my nap, so we'll leave that one.
Okay, well, let's do the naps now then.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Paul Keighley.
Yeah, I'll go Cold Stare in the first TV race at Haydock, which is the 1:45.
Thank you very much indeed. And Keith Melrose?
Yeah, the 4:15 at Catterick is one of those sort of standard 0-65. It's got a big field of 14, but there's only about 5 or 6 that you could really fancy. I mean, there's some, you know, the usual horses down at rated about 45 that haven't shown any form yet. You know, on all form of date, you wouldn't say they could raise a gallop, but obviously they might in time be better than that. We can't be fancying them. There's a 3 horses in there that won last time that are all going to be quite popular potentially. Clifftop Heaven, Ball and Neil, and Celsey Sizzler. Now, I just think Celsey Sizzler is miles the most interesting of the 3 of them. He's got, you know, he's won his last 2 for David Menuisier. He's got Thomas Greatrex up, who claims quite a handy £3. He is good for his £3, Thomas Greatrex. I don't think Catterick, I don't think Ball and Neil's going to suit Catterick. He's a big sort of big horse that might just, he's won at Catterick last time actually, but he's not a horse that's going to be, he's a big horse that's going to really get better once he gets rolling, and Celsey Sizzler might just have too much for him. Clifftop Heaven last time, one round over Hampton, the market told you what was happening that day. Simon Walker was booked. That was his big day. So yeah, Celsey Sizzler just looks a far more interesting. I've not seen prices on this race yet, but I imagine the 3 of them will be both all towards the top of the betting. But Celsey Sizzler, for me, should be clear favourite.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. And by the way, if you want to follow the racing live in a really fun, fast way, tune into What a Shout. Great show from the Racing Post. David Orton hosts that. That is always really, really good value. Right then, it's not a stellar Saturday and it's not really a stellar Sunday either. We've got the unpronounceable Group 1 in Longchamp. It's the Ispahan, isn't it? It is pronounceable. I just need to learn how to do it. And then we've got, it's Jump Racing, Fontwell, Kelso and Uttoxeter, plus Navan and Punchestown in Ireland. So, Kiels, has anything grabbed your attention for Sunday?
Yeah, there's one race. It's actually a good, really competitive handicap chase at Uttoxeter, the Clark Chase, named in the memorial to Sir Stanley Clark, who owned Lord Gyling in one of the Grand National. Is that correct?
And Uttoxeter he owned as well, didn't he?
Of course, yeah. And anyway, it's a 3:57. It's a 2.5 mile class 2 chase, 32.5 grand, quite good. 13-2 to field, I think it is. And I like Fiducks. Alan King has loads of horses who are just really versatile. And this is another one. He's won on the flat, the all weather. He's won over hurdles, and he's won 3 of his 10 chases. And he returned after 159 days off to run beginning of this month at Newton Abbott, and he was 2 lengths third to Quarto the King, but only tells half the story because he was hampered by a fooler at the second last, and he's given pretty much of an easy time after that. I don't blame the jockey at all, because he stumbled when he was hampered, and he was never going to win, but he pretty much finished on the bridle. He looked in really good form with himself. He's probably handicapped right up to his limit, to be fair, but he loves good ground and a strong run race. I think he ran a big race.
That looks a decent race, that, doesn't it? 10-1, you can get Fiducks. Anything for you on Sunday, Keith?
Yeah, I said to you before, didn't I, that I had one sort of likely favourite or thereabout that I wanted to get beat, but I didn't have a horse against it yet. But it was actually that 3:57 at Uttoxeter. Pistol Whips won his last couple. But I think this horse is the sort of horse that just bullies small fields. He's got a good turn of pace. I don't think an 18 runner competitive handicap is going to suit him. He's been put in around favourite. I'll be having a good look at this race to try and find one against him. Keels has gone and done that. But yeah, I just think Pistol Whip's the sort of horse that I'll definitely, he's taken out, you know, 15% of that book. I'll be looking to get him beat.
This time last week, you said there was an intriguing race and you weren't quite sure who you were going to tip, but that you would tip one and you would tweet it. Did you remember to do that?
I was prompted and eventually I did, yeah. And I'm annoyed with myself at that race, actually, because Sulichana, who we just talked about earlier, who beat Grain of Sense last time at Salisbury, won the race. And you know what? That horse is just going to bloody win again, wasn't it? Because it's well bred, it's found its feet now, and it went away and it won. But I ended up putting a horse that was the fancy price. Now, that's the, you know, I explained the rationale behind why I was looking at that race last week. You know, I had about three or four interesting horses in there, and I knew one of them would be a price I wanted to back them at. I got wrapped up in the one that was the fancy price that didn't run its race at all, really. It just, I can't say I got a run for my money particularly. And it was just the most interesting horse won, really. And that's who the channel will win again.
Okay. Keels, just want to tap your brains from last night again. Is there a horse that caught your eye at Sandown who you think might be worth sticking into your Racing Post tracker?
Glenn's got a bit of promise, hasn't he? I backed one in the first race called, I can't remember the name of it now, King something. Might have been King Castle.
I'll find it. King
Castle finished fifth in the first race at Sandown. I think he's got a race in him.
Is that the Gerald Chewett horse?
Joe Chewett, King's Castle, yeah. He seemed to get a bit outpaced and then he ran on again in the end. He's only got beat 3.5 lengths in the end. I think he'll win a race.
Because you tipped him, didn't you? So I backed him and I was like, come on, get there. Yeah. He just sort of stayed on the... He's like one of those golfers like Tony Finau. He was sort of on the fringes of the leaderboard, but didn't quite get involved, did he?
Yeah, but he might come good for Joe Chute. He's a good trainer. You get the best out of him in the end. I forgot one, by the way. Going back to Saturday, Catrick 230, Zim Baby, just a horse I've been following. Just got nutted on the line last time, dropping back to 5 furlongs. Beat a real heavy ground specialist when he ran at 5 furlongs last year called John Kirkup. She will win.
Okay. Keith, are you a football punter?
Not these days particularly, no.
Aren't you? So you're not looking forward to the Euros in any way, shape or form?
I'll have a little play on the big tournaments, yeah. But no, I would say I'm approaching that tournament with trepidation, given that Scotland have qualified for the first time since before I was a teenager was the last time Scotland qualified for one.
Oh my goodness. And Kills, you'll have a little dabble, will you?
Probably. Yeah, it's not, you know, I when I bet on football, I just have all the mug bets because I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, well, listen.
You're better than the English team, you know that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You're both racing experts, but if you need some football expertise, make sure you get the Racing Post on Thursday because there's a fantastic 72-page European Championship supplement. It is a real belter, I can tell you, so do not miss that. Right then.
Tell you what, I know guys who buy the Post solely for these football products.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's loads, yeah.
Yeah,
we have to put thousands of extra copies out.
Really?
Yeah, we do. It's amazing. I said yesterday, John, I always get a phone call from John Motson. He says, Bruce, when's your pull-out? I won't do the impression because I can't. When's your pull-out coming out? Because I can't do without it. He absolutely loves it. And you get a lot of that. Because the thing is, they're no-nonsense products. Like, you get some of these fancy ones and they'll say, if this football team was a cheese, it would be so-and-so and all that bollocks. But this is just sensible stats, great betting advice, everything you need to know about all the teams. It really, really is essential. And like I say, Thursday's Racing Post. Now then, we dropped the weekend plans section from this for about the last 15 months because the weekend plans were sitting at home watching telly, waiting for the country to reopen. But it has reopened. So what are you doing tomorrow, Keels?
I'm sitting at home watching the telly.
I walked into that one.
I've been racing this week. Everybody's out. Missus is working. I've got a house to myself. It'll be lovely.
And we've got golf with Steve Palmer and Young Jack on Monday, haven't we? Looking forward to that.
Not wait for that.
That should be good.
You managed to pick a tree line course with lakes involved.
Yes.
So I'm not expecting to play very well.
No, bring plenty of balls with you.
Tell me you were bloody injured, Keels.
I had a bit of rest.
Okay.
I think I've got sciatica. I'm getting old.
Keith, what have you got? Anything exciting lined up?
Well, I've unfortunately, in the last 15 months since you were asking this, my daughter's got to the age where we have to take her places on weekends. So that's my Saturday morning, but I am going to the pub.
Sad disappointed, after. Mate.
She's not listening.
Right, yeah.
She's but I'm going to the pub in the afternoon.
And where are you going? Where are you going in the morning then? What's the classic sort of place you take them to? Do you go kind of upmarket National Trust properties, or do you mean soft play areas?
But no, she's got an acting class that she goes to, so I take her to that.
Oh, lovely, excellent. Oh, how nice! And then pub in the afternoon.
Yeah, got to the pub. There's a little local sort of microbrewery near me that has a license to only open like 20 days a year. And it's our first since the pandemic coming up, so I'm definitely again going down in there and checking out what they've been brewing to do something.
It's not the Magic Thingy, is it?
No, Magic Rock. No, they're too big now. But no.
I've been to the Magic Rock. I went there before Palace played Huddersfield. What a place that is. So if you're ever in Huddersfield, that is a superb place, that.
Yeah, definitely. It's a place to go if you're in central Huddersfield. I'm in sort of a wee suburby bit, but there's still, you know, because of Magic Rock, Huddersfield's got quite a bit of a beer thing around it, so there's quite a lot of little breweries all over the place, and being so when I go to, that's a smashing wee place.
Beautiful. Now, before you go, chaps, you might want to give your tip, you might not want to give your tip away just yet, but obviously, as I said, Saturday week is Derby Day. Kills, which way are you leaning at the moment?
For the Derby, I think probably the Jolly. I just think that was a really impressive win, wasn't it, at Leopardstown? I gather from Andrew Cooper's reports that they're not expecting much in the way of rain, so Max Swinney is not going to get his ground. I still can't see high definition handling the course. I can't believe it's 3-1.
So it'd be Bolshoi Ballet for you at this stage.
John Leeper, I don't think is good enough. Hurricane Lane, I think, will stay very well and will be in the frame. That might be the one I end up tipping, just to be contrary and avoid putting up a 6-4 chance. But I think he's definitely the right strong favourite, Bolshoi Ballet.
Okay. I think it's quite an interesting race, this one, Keith, don't you?
Well, Tuesday's my day I've set aside for the papal conclave on the Derby. I've not got a particularly strong view yet. I would only sort of half agree with Keels on the high definition thing, though. I think that's going to be a really good horse this year, but I don't think the Derby's going to be his race. So one of these, like a sort of Mogul Japan type. It's on Tuesday. I'm going to just spend the day going through all the replays and just getting my Derby and Oaks views nailed to the floor.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Thank you so much for listening. Maddie's here on Monday, looking back on the weekend and looking ahead to the Oaks, which takes place next Friday. And on Friday, we're back for another Racing Post weekend postcast with a Derby Day special. So we hope you can join us for that.